Welcome back to Gimme an E Podcast, where we dive deep into men's health, tackling everything from staying hard to maintaining that spark in the bedroom. I'm your host, Dr. Rachel Ross, and boy, do we have an exciting, juicy episode lined up for you today. We're talking about making it bigger. Okay, so I know there are a lot of products out there, and we'll discuss one today, but I'll tell you what the data actually says about increasing length and girth. From addressing your burning questions about venous leakage and its impact on staying hard to the magic of boosting nitric oxide for erectile strength and overall wellness, we are covering it all. Plus, I'm going to share some insider tips on dietary choices that could revolutionize your sexual health, like for real. So whether you're looking to just spice things up, enhance your performance, or just really stay informed, you're in the absolute right place. So let's get stiff, stay healthy, and have a little fun along the way. I'm Dr. Rachel, and this is Gimme an E, the show that helps you get hard so that you can breathe easy. Food, supplements, exercises, the latest and greatest technology. If it helps you get up, I'm going to talk about it. It's about elevating your manhood. It's about electrifying your sex life.
It's alive!
One letter, one voice, shout it out. Give me an E! I got some amazing questions. You guys are coming with the questions. You're making me think and plan. So I'm so excited. Okay. Oh, venous leakage. You know, it's funny. Ken just asked me to talk about venous leakage. So that's what we'll do. Michael, we'll put together a whole thing on venous leakage and some things that you can do. Venous leakage basically means your veins are kind of leaking. And it makes it hard to stay hard throughout time. And as a result of that, it makes it... It makes it harder to keep an erection. But I will say this, venous leakage is probably one of the hardest things as a physician focusing on sexual wellness. That's one of the hardest things that we have to contend with. So we can talk about some workarounds, some strategies, some, you know, surgical options that are out there too. You know me, I always feel like if we can exhaust everything before surgery, I think that's always the best. Listen, this is just kind of off topic, you know, like my mom was having some aches in her hands, some arthritis, some knee things. So I'm connecting nitric oxide to erectile strength. I'm connecting nitric oxide here to diabetes, hypertension, but I can connect nitric oxide to just about every chronic illness and age-related thing that exists. And I say this to say that, you know, I have friends and family boosting their nitric oxide. And for instance, I talked to my mom this morning and she's like, you know what, Dr. Rachel, my hands, that arthritis just isn't as bad and my legs aren't hurting as much. And I said, well, you know, thank you for trusting me and taking these recommendations seriously. She don't take all my recommendations seriously, but she is taking a product to boost her nitric oxide production, and she is feeling so much better. She's energized and everything. And so when they discovered nitric oxide and gave a name to it, some scientists were calling it the fountain of youth because it can actually reverse the damage that's done to your blood vessels. But the thing about boosting nitric oxide that is so simple and so magical and so related to the smoothie recipe book and so related to my diet advice is that when you take dietary nitrates, that is the part of the process of not just repairing your body's ability to make nitric oxide, but it helps you make more of it. And I say all that to say, I got this really great question from a person who has been taking a product to boost nitric oxide. And let me share it with you because I think it goes right in hand with all of that, what we're talking about. Dr. Rachel Ross, I was taking a nitric oxide booster that has in its first ingredient L-citrulline, followed by L-arginine, alpha-ketoglutarate, L-arginine, L-arginine base. That's the boost blend. So that's great. You know, like, as a matter of fact, I've been working with scientists to come up with a blend myself. And honestly, I feel like when it comes to food we buy in the grocery store and supplements. Sometimes less is more, right? If it's got 90 zillion different things in it, sometimes one of those things will throw you off, or one of those things could actually be bad for you. So that's one thing. She said, I watched some of your segments where you talked about hold off on L-arginine, and I'm not sure what it can do to the body, good or bad, so I stopped taking this particular booster, heeding to your advice. Would you consider this booster blend safe? And then she goes on to talk about taking telmisartan, which is an ARB, which is a type of blood pressure medicine. I also saw your segment about certain blood pressure pills that can have an effect on your erectile function. I'm working on losing the required weight, my doctor told me, which she said would lower my hypertension. My question is, I'm on this blood pressure med. Is it okay for this med? Thank you for any advice you can lend me. Now, what I really want to focus on with this question is the L-arginine piece of it, because I think L-arginine can be very helpful for some people. I do believe that L-arginine has a space in nitric oxide boosting. But I also believe that it's very clear that if you're over the age of 45, your body is not going to be able to take all of that exogenous just means out from coming from outside of the body. It's not going to be able to take all of that exogenous L-arginine and do what we want it to do. And so what I want to do is just kind of show you why that happens. So here we go here. So L-arginine is in the body. We're eating it. You're taking it as a supplement. And as a byproduct of it, so we're using something called nitric oxide synthase. We'll abbreviate it NOS. So NOS is super important in this process. And as we age, our ability, this NOS, starts to decline in its effectiveness each decade of life, to the point that when we're about 60, the average person has only about 15% of the capacity to have NOS doing what it's supposed to do, which is to help L-arginine become nitric oxide. So what that means then is, just like any other situation, if you put too much of the L-arginine there and this NOS is uncoupled or not working, then it cannot do its job to turn it into nitric oxide and to turn it into L-citrulline. But worse than that, it will sit around in your body and become urea. Now, you and I both know, you may not be a science person, but you know urea doesn't sound like it's going to be a positive thing if it's sitting around there, right? It can create reactive oxygen species, which basically are like free radicals, which damage parts of the body and the blood vessels. And then it creates something which is the main thing that you don't want, which is ADMA. Now, ADMA stands for asymmetric dimethylarginine. We're just going to call it ADMA. Now, the problem with ADMA is that anytime we see someone with a chronic disease, they have elevated levels of ADMA. We see it in people who have hypertension, diabetes, heart failure, kidney failure. So ADMA is not necessarily anything that we want extra of. We actually already have enough of it. And when arginine sits around too much, it can actually become ADMA. Now, too much extra L-arginine can block nitric oxide synthesis. So basically, the main reason we were taking it to make this magical thing called nitric oxide, too much of this can actually impair our ability to actually make it. Honestly, I can take people off of some of these supplements who haven't been responding to Viagra, who haven't been responding to anything. We take them off of the supplements and boost their nitric oxide naturally through smoothie recipes, through some of the supplements that we talk about, what have you, and we can get things back on track, because not only is it not making the nitric oxide that you want, it can actually sit around and create chaos and confusion and make it harder for your endothelial cells, or the lining of your blood vessels, to do what they were supposed to do. So then you don't have any nitric oxide, and so then chronic disease sets in. Listen, nitric oxide is the reason our blood vessels relax. It's such an important process. So the problem with taking too much L-arginine is not only can it sit around and not produce the nitric oxide like we want it to, it can actually block the production of nitric oxide. Okay, so ultimately, at the end of the day, if you are over the age of 45 and not in that fitness space, then you want to boost your nitric oxide levels using dietary nitrates or a supplement that mimics dietary nitrates, right? And try to repair, because nitrates, actually focusing on the stuff I talk about in the smoothie recipe book, will actually help your body repair the process and make your body better able to make this enzyme NOS, which is important in this conversion of nitric oxide, this conversion of L-arginine to nitric oxide. Okay, so I'm hoping that that really helps clear up some of the problems with L-arginine. Now, if you are in the fitness space and you are an exercise guru and you're young, you're doing everything right, you know, you've got all these things going for you, I don't think that L-arginine is probably going to be a problem for you. But we have to be mindful of the fact that when we're taking a lot of supplements, if your body already has enough of it and you're flooding your body with it, well, the body then has to decide what to do with it. And if it can't get rid of it and it can't use it in a positive way, oftentimes it uses it in a counterproductive way, right? Okay, so I'm hoping that that helps clear things up a little bit on that space. Let me see. Can I order the book on Amazon? Sure, you can order it on Amazon. You can order it from me, drrachelinstitute.com/smoothie recipes. I think if you order it from me, you get a it's a saving discount versus buying it on Amazon, but you can. Let's see. Doesn't magnesium thorate relax your vessels to increase blood flow? Listen, magnesium, if you know me, you know I preach magnesium. I love magnesium. Magnesium is responsible and integrated in over 500 of our body's processes. But when you're saying magnesium thorate or magnesium citrate or magnesium glycinate or magnesium laurate, any of those things is basically a magnesium with another product popped onto the end of it, right? And that other product that's popped onto the end of it is helpful for a variety of different things, but that's ultimately how we decide which magnesium would be most useful for a particular patient. What are some of our goals? What are some of the things that are wrong? What are we trying to do? And honestly, most of the hypertensive patients that I've seen, since I've recognized how important magnesium is, that's one of the first things we do is try to supplement magnesium, because magnesium is essential for relaxation of the blood vessels. Absolutely. Magnesium is essential too for the production of nitric oxide, right? So all of that is really important. Great. Hey doctor, does paroxetine help delay premature ejaculation? According to the literature, it does. Paroxetine is another name for Paxil. It's an antidepressant. And so basically, at one point, studies were coming across that showed us that if we gave paroxetine or another SSRI or a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor to guys who were having trouble lasting longer, that we could potentially, by modulating or manipulating the serotonin levels, we could get them to last longer. I have clinically never had that type of success. I tried it on a number of patients and it never really worked for me and what I do. So I don't do it anymore. I don't even really suggest it or go there because I've never actually seen it work. That's not to say it doesn't work. I'm just saying that I have never clinically seen it work. But because here's the thing, when you put people on antidepressants, sometimes the other stuff that pops up becomes a bigger issue. Like, for instance, you know, it's really hard to fall in love when you're on an antidepressant. It's hard to feel very passionate about anything because we're basically kind of zapping your body's ability to feel passionate about things. And so I'm passionate. I love passion. I love hearing stories about people falling in love and meeting on the sidewalk and, you know, we met at a pub, what have you. So to me, antidepressants, I go with caution, and you'll never see me use one just to get someone to last longer because there's other ways to do that. Right. So, but clinically, you can Google it and there'll be plenty of papers that come up that say that it does, but I've never seen it personally work better for someone than some of the stuff that we talk about. Oh, great. Dominic, which foods is magnesium rich in? Thank you, doctor. So when you're thinking about magnesium, think pumpkin seeds. Pumpkin seeds are great. So pumpkin seeds would be great because they help with prostate health and they help with inflammation, but they also are really good with magnesium. Spinach, that's another thing that's great with magnesium. Another one, arugula, is fantastic with magnesium. So there are a lot of really great magnesium-rich foods, and so I encourage you to kind of try to knock out one bird with one stone, right? So if you had a salad that had some spinach, some arugula, some pumpkin seeds on it, right? Maybe even some beets in there. You know, well, what are we doing? We're boosting nitric oxide levels. We're high in antioxidants. We're high in magnesium. You know, we're hitting all of the benchmarks. So if you'll notice in your eFunction smoothie recipes, whether you downloaded it or you purchased a copy, you'll notice I have a shopping list here that just basically tells you, go out and get these things. And then what I want you to also do is, besides using them in your recipes, use them in your daily life. Start to use them as your snacks. Start to use them as things that you are using as garnish on some of your food. Start cooking with them, looking for recipes with them. And it really makes all of the difference. You know, our society has, food is killing us, right? Because all the processed foods, all the chemicals, all those things. But when we get back to the basics of really natural foods and what's great for us, it can heal us. And I see it every day, and it can work. So a little over 2 years ago, I introduced the world to my eFunction smoothie recipes. The results were phenomenal. I took clinically proven ingredients and created delicious smoothies designed to help revolutionize men's sexual health. The Dr. Rachel Institute was founded upon the principle of keeping families together. And the idea that I could help do that just by putting these smoothie recipes into the lives of men around the world was just beyond my comprehension. As a matter of fact, Dale just wrote me the other day to say, my wife and I have been using your eFunction smoothie recipes often. They're working. For me, this podcast is a new way for me to reach a whole new audience, and I want to make sure that you have access to this level of information. So I've got a special offer for you. You can get 25% of my eFunction Smoothie Recipe Book 2.0 with promo code GIVEMEANE, all one word. GIVEMEANE is the promo code. The link to buy my eFunction Smoothie Recipe Book is in the show notes. So I always like to think of you as part of my family and community. And what do? In a community? We share. So let me share what one of you wrote in about this journey. This next message is from Sean O, who messaged us on Instagram. Hi, thank you for sharing your advice. It's amazing. Love your YouTube. It has helped me so much in my new life. And we messaged back. We're so glad to hear that. What are some things that worked and that you tried? Sean writes, smoothies, pumping, external prostate massage, and he let me know that he lives in New Zealand. So I am so excited that this information is useful worldwide. Thank you for sharing. I want you to share. I want to know your journey. So reach out. The details are in the show notes. So this question, which magnesium supplement is best and how much is too much? Well, every magnesium supplement is a little different. You'll see magnesium citrate, you'll see magnesium threonate, you'll see magnesium laurate, you'll see magnesium glycinate. You know, for a good generic answer, I would say magnesium glycinate. But if you want to go deeper than the generic, we want to know what is that magnesium useful for. Like, for instance, magnesium citrate is fantastic because that citrate would help with the with what some people are concerned about when they're talking about the beets or the spinach, when they're concerned about the possibility of creating a calcium stone or an oxalate issue. So magnesium is useful in and of itself, but any form of it, if you want to really go deep, you want to know, well, what is the purpose And then you kind of go off of, based off of what are we trying to do, you pick what that magnesium would be attached to, right? So it's, magnesium is kind of created in a lab and they're putting another vitamin or substance attached to it, or even an amino acid attached to it. And you kind of want to know, well, why? What is that one going to be more helpful for? Right. Do you prefer doctor-prescribed testosterone or over-the-counter testosterone? So this is great. For me, I usually prescribe testosterone, and as of late, since I don't take insurance anymore, I usually use compounded versions of testosterone, where the compound pharmacist kind of bases your formula, kind of the base of your formula and everything else, on you. And before that, you know, I've written prescriptions for plenty of depot testosterone, plenty of androgel, plenty of androderm, you know, all of those different things. And honestly, I feel as though the bioidentical kind, the kind that's made in the pharmacy, that's customized and that's designed to match the testosterone molecule, I feel like that's the healthier version, and I feel like that's the better version. Now, if I were to have a patient who could not afford that, or, you know, was with the VA and couldn't, you know, go with the compound pharmacy, would I go with the prescription version of it? Absolutely. I do not have anyone who's on the form of testosterone. Like, for instance, some people are taking bull's balls capsules, you know, so they're taking ground up testicles and putting them in capsules and swallowing them. I don't have anyone on that. You know, I can't speak on that version of it, but I can speak on using the bioidentical version of it versus, you know, the mass produced lab version. And I will say this too, that if you have to pay out of pocket, it is going to be much cheaper for you, or much more cost effective, and I think better long term for you to go through a compound pharmacy than it is to go through Walgreens and CVS and all of those, because their stuff is really expensive. And I feel like maybe, you know, I don't know if I state this, but I feel like the quality, sometimes you get better at a really great compound pharmacy. But it does depend on the pharmacy. Everything depends on the person and the pharmacy and all of that type of stuff. Great. Oh, thank you, Alan. Okay, this goes right on with what we were just talking about here about magnesium. Good morning or afternoon. I hope you're well. In some of your videos or content, you explain the importance of magnesium. The question I have is, what do you think about drinking coconut milk in the can a few times a week? Because magnesium is listed on the nutrition label. Also, what brand do you recommend you may use, or post my question? Thank you in advance. So this is great. Now, honestly, coconut milk is fantastic. I mean, if you can get a good quality coconut milk, it's got good saturated fats in there. It has medium chain triglycerides, which is a type of substance which is really great for brain function and nerve function. So I am a huge fan of coconut oil and coconut milk. The problem you might run into when it comes to coconut milk or anything in the can is the lining of the can lined with some type of BPA or some type of preservative. So when it comes to coconut milk, you want to look at the can. What is it made out of? Hopefully just coconut milk. If it's just coconut milk, that's fantastic. But then you also want to see, is it organic? Is it non-organic? And I always run new products that I'm thinking about integrating into my house through EWG.org. EWG.org is an environmental work group organization, which really kind of helps us qualify whether or not the products contain some type of toxic substance or not. Sometimes it's listed, sometimes it's not, but I always try to check. Because unfortunately, when we have things that are canned, you just don't know if they're lining the canning with something toxic or not, unless they're talking about it on their can, or if that's a big part of what it is that they're doing. So I know Kiki, K-I-K-I, makes a really good organic coconut milk. And I would venture to say, if you're drinking coconut milk a few times a week, whether it's in your curry, you're cooking in it, or you're eating it, that is actually going to be a positive thing. Coconut milk is not only rich in magnesium, but it's also rich in the good fat. You may hear more and more about good fat. Good fat is actually, you know, I talked about butter and real butter, not margarine, butter and olive oil and coconut oil. You know, these are all really good forms of fat. Avocados have good fat in it. And what we mean when we say good fat is that back in the 90s, they tried to teach us that all fat was bad, right? And that you should be on a low fat diet and so on and so forth. Well, now the times have caught up and we realize that that was not true and that we were giving people fake information, and that instead of telling them that they need to be on a low fat diet, you need to watch which forms of fats that you take in. You should be avoiding vegetable oil, canola oil. Those are going to be our bad fats. But you should not avoid, as a matter of fact, you should integrate in, you know, good grass-fed butter, coconut oil, you know, things that are avocados, coconut milk. Now, but the difference is, you know, butter on something positive like spinach or broccoli or something like that is going to be a great thing. But if you're telling, you know, you're saying, well, Dr. Rachel said butter was fantastic, and now you're taking the butter and you're putting it on a donut or a bagel, or, you know, you're just baking with it. Well, yeah, butter is better than the vegetable oil and the Crisco and all of that. But now when we're combining it with the sugar, now, you know, we are taking what was supposed to be really good in its natural state, and now we're kind of turning it into a processed thing and not so much. So just be mindful of the fact that there is such a thing as good fat, and coconut milk is going to be a good, healthy fat. Great. Ooh, Terrence, this is a great question. Is it true that certain types of underwear can lower a man's sperm count? Absolutely. So if you're worried about your sperm count and this is something that you are very interested in, then a great thing for you to Google would actually even be sperm count and heat, sperm count and body heat. And so what we find is that tidy whities that actually going to take your testicles and tuck them up by your legs and by your body are actually going to render a lower sperm count than boxers or boxer briefs, because, you know, your testicles can swing. Because here's the thing, the reason God created the testicles and the balls to hang is because he wants you to have like your own natural form of air conditioning. Because as you're walking and they're swinging and doing their thing, they're getting a breeze. Well, when they are trapped in the underwear like that and tucked up in there, your core body temperature is heating things up. It's heating them up and can actually denature the sperm and damage the sperm. So, I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of dollars spent in research on cooling mechanisms. Even for one of my patients, one time I even had him, because he was a driver and had a driving transportation business, I bought him a cooling wedge that's really just a pack of ice, a cooling ice in a sleeve that he was supposed to place up under his testicles while he's driving so that they could stay cool. That's how important it is that if you're trying to get someone pregnant and you're worried about your sperm count, that you don't want things to be too hot all the time. And this goes for drivers. This goes for people who are sitting all the time. We want the testicles to cool. So yes, changing your underwear, getting a breeze going through there is a big part of making sure that your sperm isn't denatured and damaged as a result of the heat. Because protein, which sperm is protein, and can be damaged by heat. If you think about it, you know, you take a raw piece of meat, you put it in the microwave, put some heat on it, it changes drastically, right? Well, the same goes for our sperm. It's designed to hang and get air and not be like mashed up in between your legs. So I do another podcast where I have honest conversations about every topic in men's health. And I mean every topic. Nothing is off limits. And it's called Live Free, Go Hard. I want to share a clip from a recent episode I did with Master Lauren Johnson. So when someone comes to you and that is their biggest piece, is that they're having trouble connecting with another person and having some erectile issues, so to speak, what's one of your first things that you try to open up for them in that space?
Thank you for such a well put question. And I've got it right here. The tennis ball.
The tennis ball.
Especially for men, they like to go to something physical. And I'm going to say too, because we'll just cut right to some techniques. None of this is medical or psychological advice. This is just what I do on myself. This is my own practice. By watching and practicing, you agree to that. But the most vital acupoint on the body, in my opinion, as a licensed acupuncturist, certainly for men, is the perineum. Okay. In traditional tantra, there's a famous saying, if goddess wanted to hide the point of master awakening, she would put it in a place you not only wouldn't think to look for it, it would be culturally taboo. And that's the perineum. And then they have it in traditional tantra and the Tao. And so you'll see tantrikas sitting on their heel and kind of grinding, which is great. But I like the tennis ball. You just put it right on there and just for a few minutes a day, just grinding. And the idea of a reflexology point where you press it and it reflexes to other parts of the body. The perineum connects to your whole pelvic floor. Your kidneys are right there, which governs sexual energy. It connects to the brain. I mean, it just perfuses your whole energy system. And so, and then even just physically, the male G-spot is the prostate, and men have prostate issues and on. So I always try to just give people, here's one thing, boom, sit on a tennis ball. And usually they'll feel a benefit enough that then they'll be open to more of the practices.
If you want to listen to the full episode of Live Free, Go Hard and take a deep dive into your stiffness success path, you can find out more and sign up at members.drrachel.com or head over to the App Store and download the Dr. Rachel app. Good afternoon, doctor. I have a quick question. I've been doing research on products that can strengthen, beef up the girth of my penis while I'm sleeping or even during my days of operation. I found a product that might work, but not sure if it's healthy for my penis. It's called the MX1 Mansizer. Could you please advise me if this is a good product to buy or even use? If not, could you recommend a product for me? I'd add the link below for further understanding. And yes, you can share it online for the world to know. So this is a great question. And when I first started out in this, I would say my biggest question, the one I got all the time, was always about size. So I recognize that size is an issue. So I would honestly say that I became an expert on size because if you want it bigger, I want to figure out how I can help you make things bigger, right? So really, clinically, when we look at data, the only thing that seems to really change size, I mean, really give you some girth changes, some strength, some length changes. For length, it's actually traction, pulling. And for girth, it's actually suction or vacuum, right? So let's go to, I'm going to share with you what this MX blah, blah, blah Mansizer is. And so look here, you can see it up top here. This guy beneath his amazing body has this little contraption, right? So when you click on it to see more about the product, what the actual Mansizer looks like, it actually takes us to, you know, kind of a video. But if you look here, this is what it looks like right here. This MX1, it's kind of a sleeve with bands wrapped around it. Now, I'll say this. If you're going to put a band on your penis like this, so it's a sleeve, basically. So it's almost like taking a sleeve or a sock and then wrapping it up in like rubber bands almost, basically. And the idea is that it's going to stretch things. So I'll say this, you know, like if we're looking at my model, which I found, thank you. If we're looking at our model and just think about this with tissue. If we're squeezing here all day long, just squeezing here, whether it's 4 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes, what we'll notice when we take my hand off or a band off is that this part is going to be full of blood and bulbous, and this part is going to be kind of stretched and skinny, right? So there are whole communities out there that exist just to change the shape of your penis and your erection. And one of the best ways to change the shape, right? It's kind of jelking, moving it, molding it, because remember that this is elastic tissue. So what I can say about this, my review on the MX, is that I don't doubt for a second that you will get some changes. You know, they're very clear that this is going to be a gradual process over months. But what I would be concerned about, and some things to think about, is that one, if you just keep this band here, you're going to end up with a misshaped situation, right? You're going to have plump and fluffiness down here, and you're going to have a little skinnier down here. So it seems to me like it would be smarter to tell you to wear it here, then push it down here to wear it here, because wherever there's going to be some compression, you are going to see the compression or the dents. The other thing that I want you to keep in mind is, you know, they go through and they tell you the process of, you know, only wear it for 5 or 10 minutes at first, then gradually work your way up. Don't sleep in it at first. Then gradually, after you become accustomed to it, then you can sleep in it. You got to keep in mind that if you are tightening it too much, remember, this is a tourniquet. It's the same concept that we're using when we're using like a cock ring, right? We're getting stiff or hard and we're putting the cock ring on to keep the blood flow in. And if you know, I always say, don't use a cock ring for more than 15 or 20 minutes at a time, because if that, you can actually damage some of your blood vessels if it's done the wrong way. So if you're anything like me, you know, I tie my shoes, I'm like, you know, I'm strapping it up, I'm strapping hard. If you put this MX man-sizer thing on and you are making it too tight, you can potentially cut off blood flow. You could potentially damage some of the tissue there. Do I think that if you got one of those, you would see some changes in the shape and the size of everything? Sure. But one thing that I don't, that's interesting to me is I just don't think that if you wear a band right here like this for hours at a time, I think what's going to happen more than anything is you're going to have girth down here because you're pushing all of the blood down here and you're going to have skinny up top. If you want to combine this maybe, and this is just a thought, if you were combine this maybe with pumping so that you're actually using a vacuum to kind of fluff the tissue out and to expand it that way, that might be better, because I just honestly don't know if you're going to look up and see this kind of, constriction, like it's going to end up kind of looking like this. I don't know if you're going to see that and be like, wow, this is exactly what I was looking for. So this, you can compare this device to good old fashioned jelking. You can compare this device to like a traction device, but I would say that you're going to have some shape issues at the end of it. So it might work, but are you going to be happy with that little lumpy bump that you're going to see on it? I'm not so sure. It's going to kind of go like this. It's going to be a lumpy bump. So I'm not sure if that's what you're going for. But yeah, so that's the MX1 man-sizer. And what I'll do is I will contact them and see if they'll send me one. And we can see. But you got to be careful with this type of stuff. What I like about it is that it's clear. It's transparent. It's not like some pill that's supposed to make you massively longer or thicker, which, you know, how's that going to work? But it actually is dealing with penile tissue. And that's why pumps work, right? We're going straight to penile tissue. We're going to what we're trying to make better. We're trying to enhance it. So we're going straight to it and we're doing the work, right? So, some of that stuff where it was a pill and this and that, I don't even look at those questions because I'm like, well, damn, how is that going to work? But something that's actually a manual device that's applying a little bit of traction, a little bit of pressure, I'm more interested in that because it's a hands-on approach, you know? You're actually putting some effort, some energy into it. So it's great. And I would venture to say, too, that after you take off that band, after you take it off and you're giving a rest for it, you do need to do some massaging to try to redistribute some of the fluid and some of the blood flow that's happened while you were on there. Great. Oh, Hi, doctor. I'm 42 and I currently take Cymbalta for anxiety and I notice my libido has decreased. Can you recommend something to counter this? You know, one of the things that we use sometimes if we have to keep a patient on antidepressants is actually ginkgo biloba. You know, there's great data and, you know, clinically to kind of help with not just blood flow, but sex drive when you're actually taking an antidepressant. It helps. But the problem with antidepressants is we need all of those neurotransmitters to get an erection. You know, like dopamine, for example, there are dopamine receptors in the penile tissue, and dopamine has to be present all the way through for you to get an erection. So because these products manipulate neurotransmitters, that's ultimately why that makes it so difficult to be on some of them and maintain an erection. So these are great questions. Ken says compounded testosterone is much, much cheaper. Yes, Ken knows that one firsthand. Thank you for that. Oh, Dr. Knight, love it. Gentlemen, the smoothies work. I started drinking them about a month ago and I'm in a better place now. Yes, yes. So see, here's the thing. Once I started to realize as a really young physician that if we're talking about erectile health, and we're working on erectile health, the same stuff that we're doing for erectile health helps the whole damn body. And if your gut health is not good, supplements will be useless. Thank you, hallelujah. If your gut health is not good, or if it's thrown off, most things are you're going to have trouble with. And that's one of the great things about nitrates, you know, the nitrates in the smoothie recipes and nitrate-based supplements is that they actually help repair the gut. Nitrates are known to help repair gut issues. So that's really important. And then changing your diet helps support gut issues. You know, making sure you're on the healthy fats helps support your gut, all of that. That's great. Let's see. I love it. Zinc to increases testosterone. Yeah, zinc can increase testosterone, but also we have to keep in mind that if you're taking too much zinc, you can deplete your copper. You know, your body's copper stores, and copper is important in this process of erectile health. So, you know, zinc is one of those give or takes. You don't want to overdo it on the zinc. And since we're coming off of like COVID, so many people were on zinc that you just really kind of have to be careful with zinc. Great. All right. Great question, Ray Rex Mendoza. I have this frequency of urination at night. We call that nocturia. Is there any lab test to correct this? I am a type 2 diabetic. All right, so being a type 2 diabetic and getting up in the middle of the night to urinate, I would venture to say that the insulin resistance and the diabetes has actually made you have an enlarged prostate, and that the enlarged prostate is causing the nocturia, or the getting up in the middle of the night to urinate. Type 2 diabetes, or diabetes in general, when it goes unchecked, it makes you urinate a lot during the day. And if your issue is just urinating a lot at night or nocturia, then that is more so of a prostate issue. And I am a huge advocate for a prostate massage. You know, speak with your doctor. Make sure your doctor is comfortable with it, and we can massage your prostate from externally with a great prostate massager that you're just going to put kind of underneath, you know, right in the perineum area. The good thing about your external prostate massagers too, you keep it clean, you know, clean it afterwards. And if you have a partner, this is great to use with your partner. You can, if your partner's a lady, you can use it on her clitoris. You can, you know, if your partner is a guy, you can use it in a variety of places too. So the great thing about an external prostate massager is you keep it clean and it can be ready to go in a variety of different situations. The way the prostate massage helps with nocturia is that due to the location of where your prostate is located, your prostate wraps around your urethra. So it's a prostatic urethra, and your urethra is where urine passes through. Not only does your urine pass through your urethra, your ejaculate passes through your urethra. So your urethra is kind of like this conduit for fluids. The problem with when your prostate becomes enlarged, it can become an irritant to your bladder, but also an irritant to your urethra. And what prostatic massage actually does is the prostate massage can then pick up the slack, can actually help soothe your prostate, help reduce irritation, and help reduce nocturia, believe it or not. I want you to have that conversation with your doctor. Talk to him or her about prostatic massage. First thing that they're going to do is try to put you on one of the prostate medications. But ask, say, okay, doc, I respect that you want to give this to me. Do you mind if I try some natural ways first? Do you mind if I try integrating more pumpkin seeds, maybe some pumpkin seed oil, and prostate massage? And they'll likely say, sure, give it a try. It probably won't work, but give it a try. And then you can knock things off gradually, right? So you can try some of the more natural things. And then if they don't work, say, doc, you know, I tried this and I tried that. Didn't really see much success. What was the medication you were talking to me about again? And by then, you will have done some research, looked at some of the videos that I've posted on prostate medications and things to look for. And then you're actually approaching it in a more informed piece, right? Because prostate massage has been around for years. It's been around for centuries. Used to be something that in physicians' offices that we did, and it has fallen out of favor because there's no money in a damn prostate massage, just a dirty glove, right? And the real money is in the medication. So this part of just optimizing and taking things into your own hands is really part of this. It's like, okay, what can I do naturally? In our session last week, I have a stiffness training that I have a bunch of gentlemen in, and we were doing a live Zoom. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I brought from that here is this concept of being kind of your own health detective. So you are your own best doctor. And I don't mean that because you've gone to medical school and you've done this and you've done this, but because you know your body better than anyone else. And so a gentleman in the group had started on a medication or a supplement, and he feels like things started to get worse in all parameters of his health after he started taking it. And his question was, you know, could this really have been that? And my answer to that and my challenge to you is, that anytime you start doing anything regularly and you feel like it's having a negative impact on your health or your life in some way, shape, or form, then you know better. You know that that is not a positive thing for you, because you can go and read all of the different things on Google, watch all of the YouTube videos about fish oil, for example. And then you start it and you're not feeling any better. As a matter of fact, you feel like you're feeling worse. Guess what? You need to come off of the fish oil and make note that the fish oil did not make you feel any better. But I want to challenge you one step further than that is, let's look on the bottle and see what's in the fish oil, right? Is this a quality fish oil? Is it in glass? Is it in dark colored glass? Is it, does it have a funny smell? You know, like, where are they getting this fish oil from? So sometimes it's not necessarily the supplement that's not doing you right, but it may be the manufacturing process of the supplement, or it may be the added ingredients of the supplement. So what you really want to start doing is being your own best doctor, your own detective, and making note, not just with the supplements, but with the food. Oh, Dr. Rachel said pistachios are great for the D. So I'm eating a handful of pistachios every day for a month. And then the next month I notice I got poor energy. I don't feel good. I'm feeling nauseous. Well, let's see. What did you do the month prior new? Well, I started eating those pistachios. So see, you're your own best detective. That's ultimately, too, why sometimes I say get a supplement that just has a single ingredient, because if we take a supplement and it's got 20 different things in it and you take it and you feel like crap or it didn't work, now you've blamed everything in that bottle and it may have just been one thing in there. So you want to go slow. You want to go simple and you want to pay attention. And if you have a bad memory, write it down. Write down what you ate the night before. And then if you feel like crap the next day, go back and look at it. Because just because broccoli may be great for me, it helps my phase two detoxification. It makes me feel good. I feel great the day after broccoli. I go smoothly. Doesn't necessarily mean that broccoli is going to have the same impact on you. So you've got to be your own best detective and take all of this information that you're finding out from me, some of the other people you follow, some articles that you read, some things that your doctor, and figure out what worked for you. Because it's much cheaper to do that than it is to order all of the tests that we order to try to figure out what works for you and what doesn't. You know, you can come in and see me, and if your budget fits it, I mean, I can order about $2,000 worth of labs that can give us all types of data and information. But a lot of that stuff you can find out on your own by doing trial and error, by keeping a food diary, by checking to see what particularly are you sensitive to, what works for you and what doesn't. And then ultimately, that can help lead you into a healthier space. And then you don't have to wait for your doctor to tell you something's not working for you. You know in advance because it made you feel like crap, right? So that's what we want to do here is consistently layer on your educational resources so you just become stealth at this whole thing of staying as healthy and as optimized as you possibly can so that you can stay stiff. You know, I always say it all the time, you know, I am healing the world one D at a time, right? And so also what I'm huge on is trying to keep families together. That is a big thing for me. You know, regardless of who your family consists of, I want to keep your family unit together. And honestly, I feel like if we can get the sexual energy between the two of you stimulated in the right space, then that's one less thing for us to worry about, right? Honey, we may be broke as hell, but we had some great sex last night and I feel good about trying to go out and conquer this world, right? So that is ultimately why it's so important that this sex piece, you know, that you're able to express yourself sexually in whatever environment you want to, because it just makes you feel better, right? And so the last question that I have comes from a gentleman who's asking just that. He basically said, Doc, you said if we don't use it, we will lose it. Well, we didn't use it. And guess what, Doc? We lost it. Can you spend some time talking to us about what can be done to help? And he basically said he doesn't have a sex drive. His wife doesn't have a sex drive. And what can we do in the meantime for that? So I think when it comes down to sex drive for both men and women, one thing that I want to be very clear about, when lubrication and engorgement has to take place, there's got to be nitric oxide there. Now, women lose nitric oxide building capacity a little later than guys. You know, that we start to lose our capacity, you know, probably when we hit menopause, as a matter of fact, whereas guys really start to lose their nitric oxide producing capacity a little sooner. So when we look at the sexual response cycle of both men and women, it really starts with nitric oxide. So both of you need to support your nitric oxide. So that's why the smoothie recipe book works for men and women. That's why the nitric oxide supplements that are designed to use nitrates to boost nitric oxide production, that's why they work for both men and women. Now, the other part of it that you have to keep in mind is that sex is a commodity exchange. You know, it always has been. You know, like we can call it what we want, but it is a commodity exchange. You know, like when you guys first started dating, you know, women, we're very open to sexual conquests and exploration, and 80% of us are doing it because we want you to like us. We think that you might be a great catch, and we want everything that comes with it, so we're very open. As time goes by, maybe some kids, maybe we've gotten married. Well, you know, we've got you now, so we don't really have to put all that energy into sex, right? So during that space, that's ultimately where the commodity exchange part of it really becomes really important. You want sex or I want sex. What can we exchange or trade off on so that I get sex, you get sex, and you get whatever else you want? Is it, do we need to do some shopping? Do I need to take out the trash? Do we need to do some massage? Do I need to take the kids all day on Sunday? You know, like, what can I do to make you feel more like having sex? So that's part of it. Now, when you've gotten to the point where sex has fallen off and you just haven't been having it at all, and you just don't even know how the hell this is going to ever start back up, you've got to reconnect in the ways that you connected in the first place. So you've got to leave the D and the V, or the D and the D, or the V and the V out of it, and really focus on, you know, kind of flirting, kind of reconnecting sexually. You got to bring back tongue kissing. You got to slob on each other. You got to see what each other's breath smells like. You got to rest your head on her or his neck and smell. What do you even smell like anymore? Because I've forgotten that. You know, you guys got to start back holding hands in the car. You got to start back flirting. You want to smack her on her butt when she walks past. You want to send compliments throughout the day. You want to flirt. So start with flirting and intimacy while you're working on these other things, right? Then the next part of it is when you start to initially integrate and you're like, okay, well, we've started kissing. Maybe we should make out a little bit. You want to do that in a way that basically is not going to cause anybody to be like, ah. So, right. So imagine we've been together for years and you haven't touched my breast in like 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, hell, 6 months. And I'm feeling uncomfortable about them, right? So you don't want to just dive right in and start fondling the breast because you don't even know how to do that in a way that your partner is going to feel comfortable with. So everything has to be kind of slow and everything has to be in stages because you got to relearn everything. So the first day, it's just more about intimacy, making out, touching each other, feeling each other. You don't integrate in sexual touching until like a week into this process. You don't integrate touching genitals until like 2 or 3 weeks into the process, right? This is slow. We're moving slow. Hell, it took us months and years to get to the point where we're not even having sex. So now let's take things slow to integrate it, because what you're doing is you're just making each other comfortable with each other, right? And while you're doing all of this, and while you're doing this intimate touching, you've got to remember to breathe, right? Because one of the ways that I haven't talked about in a long time of how to boost nitric oxide production is through nasal breathing, breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. One thing that worked when you were a kid, all of that doesn't work when you're an adult, because what you're actually doing is you're minimizing your ability to make nitric oxide to get a clitoral erection or a penile erection. So deep breathing, eye contact, just connecting. So in this process of trying to reintegrate sex, you also have to do some exciting things together. Things that both of you find exciting. Maybe it's the comedy club. Maybe it's going on roller coasters. Maybe it's, you know, shooting at the gun range. Maybe, you know, just something to spice things up and throw things out of the norm. Because as effective as routines are in raising children, routines kill relationships and they kill sex. Not that they kill relationships, but they kill sex. They kill that whole, because sex has to have dopamine. What fuels dopamine? The newness, the anticipation, the I'm looking forward to something. Not I know everything about you and I know where we're going on date night and I know where we're going to eat and I know what we're going to do on the way home and I know which way you're going to drive. Even driving a different way to your new spot can be exciting to some people because, hey, where are we going? Introducing new music can be exciting. So find some things that are going to excite both of you and ignite some level of curiosity about the other person. Hell, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So you go on a boy's trip, she goes on a girl's trip. You guys are away from each other for some days, maybe even a week, so that you can start to think about each other in a sexual way. When you guys are living on top of each other, this is why COVID really was tough on relationships. You're living on top of each other, you're farting, you know, like the flush in the toilet, everything that you really didn't have to see before COVID, you had to see during COVID because we were just like all living on top of each other. So put some space between the two of you, make some things to the point where you're looking forward to it, give some anticipation, and start to gradually reintegrate sex into the space. And so when it comes to women, the average woman and some gentlemen really like gifts. You know, like I said at the beginning, sex is a commodity exchange. So make her feel sexy, make her feel like giving you some. But if you just keep on the same monotonous pace, oh, it's her birthday, I'm not really going to give her anything because she doesn't really like gifts. Bullshit. Everybody likes gifts, right? So find the sweet spot. What language speaks to your partner? Do they like gifts? Do they like for you to do things, nice things for them? What did they used to really gush about when you did? And bring that back to help bring the sexual connection back so that then you can gradually integrate in all of the other stuff, right? Awesome. So we're here every Thursday at 4 p.m. So I'm bringing to you Dr. Elizabeth Shirley next week, actually. It's a fantastic interview that I'm going to share with you that about the process of nitric oxide and how we should be thinking about it and how we've thought about it in the past and how important nitric oxide production is. What are some things that you should be doing in your daily life and why both she and I, you know, she's been a researcher in this field of nitric oxide study for, I think, 15 years, but why we consider nitric oxide to be this fountain of youth, why I am so passionate about nitric oxide and why am I taking something to boost my nitric oxide and why am I trying to convince everybody in my family to do the same, because I love them and I want them to be here and I want them to decrease the illness and improve wellness, right? So that's the type of stuff that we do here. Is I bring you my own years of knowledge and my own clinical training to try to help you figure out what could be best with you. So you take this information back to your families, you take it back to your providers, your healthcare providers, and really help them tailor a progress, a situation for you that works. So any of the stuff that I talked about here, the links are below. I don't have the link for this man-sizer dingo thing, you know, but you just Google it. You know, if that's something that you're interested in. And of course, if you haven't gotten your E-Function smoothie recipe book, you know, it's never too late to get started on this pathway. Most of the guys, if you read the threads, they'll tell you it's really changing the game for them. But I also want you to think about your not just what's happening with your nitric oxide levels, but what's happening with the tissue of your erection, you know, the regenerative strategy of pumping, and also what's happening with the prostate. Because by the time you're in your 70s and 80s, 60 to 70% of gentlemen will have some prostate enlargement. And the prostate sits on the nerves that go directly to innervate erectile function. All right, so I'm Dr. Rachel, and I came out of the womb healing, and I'm going to continue to do this. So I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Give Me an E. Please subscribe so that you can get new episodes as soon as they're released. And take a moment to leave a 5-star review. Also, make sure that you subscribe to my email list so that you can get men's health-related topics delivered discreetly to your email, get discounts from the Dr. Rachel Institute, win prizes, and so much more. The details are in the show notes below. And if you want more from me, check me out on social media and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Until next week, live free and go hard.